Well, good afternoon. Let me welcome you to Midweek in Mayfair. Great to see you. I hope you're... we're considering wisdom at the moment on Tuesday lunchtime. These first few chapters of the Book of Proverbs, which is essentially a poem in praise of wisdom. And in a moment we'll think about how precious it is to have wisdom. We're looking forward to having Matt Beebe come and join us. Actually, he's a sort of salaried member of the team to come and put some drive into Midweek in Mayfair from September, which is very encouraging. And if you met him, you know he's a good guy. We do need to sort of raise our game in terms of financial commitment, though, in order to pay the man. So if you'd like to get involved in that, or able to perhaps even increase it a little bit, do email in. We'd love to be able to have that covered. Let me read Proverbs chapter 3, and then I'll pray afterwards. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You shall be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who laid hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster, or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor, who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason, when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man, or choose any of his ways. The Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this song, poem, in praise of wisdom. We pray we'd understand it rightly and learn its lessons well, that we would cherish walking the path of wisdom, that we would run from walking paths of foolishness. Help us, persuade us again that living your way is a great way, the only way, the best way, to live our lives profitably, for the praise of your name. Amen.
Well, good afternoon. Long poem, long passage. I don't know if when you wrote poems at school you ever came up with anything as long as that, but we'll do our best to cover it. And really what we're seeing is that wisdom is about a relationship. Wisdom is about a relationship. And relationships, you'll know, are costly but valuable. They're costly to be in relationship, but they're valuable. I saw a book this weekend with this title, Relationships, A Mess Worth Making. Well, it's quite a punchy title, isn't it? Relationships, A Mess Worth Making. I don't know if that's how it feels to you in romantic relationships or relationships at work or whatever. But of course that's true.
relationships are costly, but they're valuable. They're so valuable.
So in the metro this morning, I saw Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin speaking of their relationship. Gwyneth said this: We have our ups and downs. A long relationship takes lots of twists and turns. We both have a lot going on, so we have to work at it. And then she says, but I'm devoted to our unique situation. See what she's saying? It's what we know. It's costly, but it's worth it. It's valuable. And the book of Proverbs is an invitation to be wise. Invitation to be wise. And as we look at this, poem today, it looks costly sometimes to go the way of wisdom. But this poem is written to persuade us that it's immensely valuable. It's the most valuable relationship you could be in, to be in a relationship with God's wisdom, to be in a relationship with Him. So let's pick out three things from this passage. That wisdom is relational, it's valuable, and it's safe. Wisdom is relational. Let's look at verses 1 and 2, you see what I mean. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. So here's a father speaking to his son. Some of these proverbs we think were written by Solomon and others as well. And so here is a father speaking to his son, maybe as he leaves home and sets off out into the world. And he's speaking in relational terms to his son. So he says, verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave them. Bind them round your neck. So he says, my boy, all of your friends will head off on gap years and they'll all come back from distant lands with necklaces round their necks with shark's teeth and all of that, as everyone does. You come back with a necklace that says love and faithfulness or God's way around your neck. That's the most precious thing that you could have around your neck. And then as these verses go on, verses 1 to 12, the father points his son not to the relationship that he has with the son, but he points him to a relationship with the Lord. He says the wisest thing you can do is to be in a relationship with the Lord. And he broadly says four things of that relationship. He says trust him, fear him, honour him, submit to him. Trust him. Trust him, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. And that word trust that's used there is the Bible's word for trust. Particularly when you're in danger. Particularly in a place of danger, you're to trust. And so the believer knows that there are many paths that we could take in life that would be dangerous for us. Decisions that we could make that we would be bad. And so the writer says, the father says to his son, choose not to lean on your own understanding, but place all of your weight on the understanding of God that comes from him. Now, last year I had a knee operation, some of you might remember it, and there I was on crutches for quite a long time. And of course, if you're on crutches, you're meant to lean on them. So sometimes I'd come to a busy road and I'd think, maybe I'll just give it a go on my legs. Crazy to do that. And you put your full weight on the crutches. And the father's saying to his son, put your full weight on God's understanding. Or to put it in another way, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Acknowledge there doesn't mean just sort of mentally tick off that you've checked in with God. I think that's how I often think of acknowledging the Lord. A much stronger idea here is know the Lord. Know the Lord in your paths. So in a place of danger, don't just tick off. But know the Lord. It's true of any relationship. Quite often I'll phone my dad up for financial advice because I'm fairly useless with money and I'm often in danger of just making a bad decision about things. And so in a moment of crisis, I will phone my dad up. Now, I don't do that just to sort of acknowledge and tick off that I've checked in with my dad. I phone him up and I say, Dad, I want to know what you're doing in this situation. What's a wise course of action in this? I want to know your mind on this. And that's what's going on here. To trust God is to know him, not just to check in with him, but to know his mind on something. So he says, know him. Then he says, fear him. Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So it's a relationship of fearing the Lord. In other words, choosing his ways instead of ours. Not being wise in our own eyes, or particularly here, not toying with evil. You know, sailing close to the wind on a decision we know is wrong, or a course of action that we know is evil. Saying, I can cut the corner in this deal. I could just override the alarm bells that are going on in my mind. No, he says, don't do that. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And that will bring health to your bones. That will bring health into your spirit. I've seen that in experience. I've been meeting up with a guy recently who I think is making a bad choice in life. And we've met up a few times over the last month. And on the first two times, he's basically been saying to me, look, how close can I sail to the wind on this course of action that I know is not right? And I've been saying, don't do that. But every time I've met him in those first two times, because he's had that attitude, he's just been in inner turmoil. There's been no sort of health in his soul. I spoke to him this weekend. And he said, I'm now in a better place. I'm going to have to make a hard decision, but I'm looking to the Lord. And you know, he was just a different person within himself. Just a different person, because he wanted to go God's way. The inner turmoil was gone. There's a peace about him. That's what's going on here. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That will bring health. Bring health to your soul when you do that. So trust him, fear him, honour him, verse 9. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So if we trust God, if we fear God, then we'll seek to honour God. That is to put him and his name and his purposes as our priority here. He's talking about material goods with the first fruits of all of your crops. And the promise of the second half. So the trust of the Bible shows that that's a particular Old Testament promise, that for the people in the land, a material blessing and obedience to the Lord were very closely tied. Not true in the New Testament in quite the same way. But the point for us here, that giving is relational. You see that? Honour the Lord. It's about honouring him. But if you think in that way as you seek to give to the Lord's work, it's easy, isn't it, for honouring the Lord just to become something that we do. We just do it. It's in person. We feel we ought to, and so we do. Well, here's a call to honour the Lord. Honour a person. It's relational. Honour him with what you have. So trust him, fear him, honour him. Lastly, submit to him, my son, verse 11. Don't despise the Lord's discipline, and don't resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. So submit to him, because good fathers do sometimes have to say no. If you're a father, you know that yourself. You can't always be saying yes to your son or your daughter. Sometimes you have to say no. You have to say, no, don't go that way. That's a bad way to go in. I can still remember the first time I went to my dad and told him I'd just been given a detention at school. I can remember exactly where he was as I went up to him and told him that. He wasn't particularly pleased. And the main thing he said to me as I told him that was, his main concern was that I was starting to get in with the wrong crowd at school. And it was true. The reason I got the detention was because I was starting to get in with the wrong crowd. And he said to me, in effect, Now, don't go in with those guys. It's a bad thing to do. Things will be very different for you at school if you make that decision. Now, how do you respond to that? You've got a few choices. Either you resent it, fight against it, or you despise it. You know, what would Dad know? What would Dad know about what it's like to be a teenager? You've got no idea. You despise it. You look down on the advice. Or you submit to it. Say, no, Dad probably knows best. He said that to me because he loves me. And that's the point of these verses. Submit to the Lord, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. And you see from all of those how personal wisdom is. In other words, we don't grow in wisdom as we grow older, although that may be the case. We don't grow in wisdom by going into Waterstones and reading all of the books that we can find on wisdom. Now, wisdom is relational. We grow in wisdom as we trust in another, in our Heavenly Father. So I wonder today where you need to hear that. Have you got a big deal going through at the moment? Big decision. Do we move house? Should we move church? What should we do? Well, these verses say, trust in the Lord. It's relational. Bring it to him. Look to him. There's the first thing. Wisdom is relational. More briefly, the second two. Wisdom is valuable. Now, we hear that and it sounds quite costly, doesn't it? To go the Lord's way, to trust in him and not ourselves. It sounds costly. And so the second point is that wisdom is valuable. So valuable. Verse 13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. Often in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a wonderful lady. And in effect, the father is saying to the son, if you have wisdom in your life, she's more profitable than anything you could get on the trading floor. She's more profitable than silver. She yields better returns than gold. I'm not sure what gold is yielding at the moment, but he's saying the yield is better of wisdom than gold. Verse 14, you couldn't get stronger, could you, at the end of it? Nothing you can desire can compare with wisdom. In other words, if you get anything in your life, get wisdom into your life. And the promises are extraordinary, verse 16. In Old Testament terms, you don't get bigger than long life in her right hand and riches and honour in her left hand. Those are the big promises for God's people throughout the Old Testament. And here they are in the hands of Lady Wisdom. As she promises pleasant ways, that is, life on the outside being right. She promises paths of peace, that is, life on the inside being at peace, being shalom with God. And then the culmination of what she offers is verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. I don't know if you can think of where the tree of life in the Bible comes. I'm surprised by this. Can you think? So books in the Bible where you get the tree of life, there are only three. So Genesis, right at the start, the people in the garden with the tree of life. Another book, right at the end, Revelation 21. There is the tree of life again. I haven't seen it for so long. But the other book, and here's the surprise, the only other book you get it in the Bible is in the book of Proverbs. You get it four times. Wisdom offers the tree of life. In other words, one day, finally, in the new creation, those trusting in Jesus will enjoy life in abundance, the blessing of that for full. But in the meantime, we can experience in this life, in some degree, life at work in our lives. But where's it found? Well, it's found in the embrace of wisdom. That's where it's found. In fact, it's so valuable that verse 19, we're told that wisdom is woven in. It's laid into the foundations of the world. So that if you live your life cutting with the grain of wisdom, you're cutting with the way that God has set up the universe. But if you say to yourself, no, I won't go that way, then you don't just cut against some small thing. You cut against everything about the way that God has made the world. Do you see what the Father's saying to the Son? He's saying, this relationship with wisdom is costly, but it's also valuable. It's a bit like a father who sets up his son with a beautiful girl. He says, look, come marry her. She'll be a great wife for you. But the closer the son gets to knowing her, the more scared the son gets about sort of throwing himself in and committing with her. And so the father says, look, she'd make a great wife. Wisdom, she'd make a great wife for you. She offers more. You marry her and you'll flourish because of the yield that she'll give. So get married, my son. That's what he's saying. To Lady Wisdom. And God says to us, yes, going my way often will seem costly, but there's nothing more valuable that the world has to offer than going God's way and trusting him. Wisdom is valuable. Finally, wisdom is safe. Let's pick it up from verse 21. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Don't let them out of your sight. There'll be life for you and ornament to grace your neck. Then you'll go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You see, he's saying, if you listen to your Heavenly Father, if you embrace wisdom, then you live in the place of safety. Doesn't mean that everything will go right for you, but it does mean that you'll know that you've made a safe decision. You've made a good decision, the best decision to go God's way. So verse 23, if you've made a decision according to God's wisdom at work, then, well, you'll walk through Berkeley Square and you'll know that you've done the wise thing. That's the wise thing to do. It might not turn out exactly as everyone hoped, but you've done the wise thing. And you'll walk across Berkeley Square, you'll know that. Verse 24, you get home ready to lie down and you're asked by your spouse, how was your day? And you say, well, I had to make this and that decision. I'm not sure how it will turn out. I don't know. But I can lie down and sleep tonight because I know that I've done the right thing. Or you think about how to lead your family or the direction to take in life. Well, if you make a decision according to God's wisdom, then the promise is we lie down knowing that I'm in the place of safety. How so? Well, verse 26. Because the Lord is your confidence. You put your trust in someone else that you can trust. And I think that is what the Bible says about how we grow in trust. We put ourselves in the hand of another. I don't know if you think about your life this way, but I do sometimes, quite often, reflect that if I was in charge of my life, actually the world would be a far scarier place. My confidence would always be threatened, always be going up and going down. But actually the writer is saying, now if you put your trust in another, you put yourself in the hands of your Father. He's your confidence. And so you can live in the safety knowing that he's got your back and not you. So verse 27, because he's got your back, you can stand for the guy who's wrongly dismissed. You can stand for him when it's in your power to act, because you know the Lord's got your back and your reputation as well. At verse 28, you can give info on a client today rather than hold it off to tomorrow. That's the wise thing to do. When you have it now with you, you could act in that way. Because God's got your back, verse 29, you don't have to plot the downfall of a colleague so that you can rise up, because the Lord's got your back. And because the Lord's got your back, verse 30, you don't have to envy when the ruthless guy in the office just seems to be making hay while the sun shines and trampling over everyone else. See, if your confidence is you are not safe in this world. And you have to grasp, you have to take. But if your confidence is in another, in the Lord, you can trust him and serve others And that's the call of wisdom at the end of these verses, to serve those around us, to serve those in our workplace. And of course, as we think about that, we turn our thoughts finally, because that is the way to, that was the way of Jesus Christ, of course. That was the way of Jesus Christ, the true wise one, our wisdom in this world. He lived in relationship with his Father, perfect relationship with his Father. He knew the value of wisdom more than anyone. He was wisdom itself. And he trusted God. And so he was able to serve others, even those who were violent against him. And so the Father says to the Son, go the way of wisdom. It's costly sometimes. Costly feels that, to go God's way. But it's the only safe path through life. It's costly. But it's so valuable to go God's way, because he's made the universe that way. He's a Father that you can trust. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in relationship with you, we are in a place of safety. If we're unsure about what it means to be in that relationship, we pray you'd help us to find out more. But if we know you as our Father, please would we increasingly lean on your wisdom, know you in our walk with you, submit to you, even when you say no, knowing that you're a Father who loves us. And we pray, knowing the value of following you, please would you help us to serve those around us out of this safe relationship that you brought us into. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.